Hello to all my racing fans out there, and welcome to my podcast, Last of the Late Breakers. My name is Damon Grimshaw, I'm your host on this show, and I'd just like to give you a quick shout, and please could you follow me on Instagram, at Last of the Late Breakers, Twitter, at Late Breakers, and I'd be really chuffed if you could give me a little subscribe. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. And hello everybody, and welcome to the 16th episode of Last of the Late Breakers, with me, your host, Damon Grimshaw, on this show. This show will be covering the 2019 British Superbike Championship. Do a quick review and a bit of news at the end. So let's get straight into it. So I'll read through the list of riders that started the championship and the various changes in between. So B. Wiser Ducati had Scott Redden and Josh Brooks the whole season. Them boys, they were consistent the whole season. RAF Kawasaki, Ryan Vickers. He only competed in races 1-4 and 6-12 due to injury. Quattroplant JG Speedfit Kawasaki had a bit of a rough season this year after having such a successful season last year. So Glenn Irwin raced for them, but only raced in races 1-5. Ben Curry raced in races 1-2 and 5-12. James Hillier did races 1-2, rounds 1-2, sorry. Hector Barber did rounds 3-4 and 6-12. OMG Racing Suzuki, Luke Mossy did rounds 1-7 and 9-12. Josh Elliott did rounds 1-8. Billy McConnell did a round 11-12. And James Ellison competed in rounds 10-12. Honda Racing, Andrew Owen and Jerry Forres were there the whole season. Same with McCam's Yamaha. Jason O'Halloran and Taryn McKenzie were there the whole season. Bilbao Suzuki, Bradley Ray and Luke Stapleford did all the rounds. And Rich Cooper just did round 10. Oxford Racing Ducati, the sole rider of Tommy Bridwell. Same with PR Racing BMW, Joe Francis on his own. Same for FS3 Racing Kawasaki, Danny Buchan on his own. Tag Racing, Dan Linfoot and Sean Winfield did the whole season. Smith BMW, Peter Dickman did the whole season. James Ellison did races 1-7, rounds 1-7, sorry, then he split with the team. Alex Olsen did 9-12. He's also stepped up to the team for next year, Alex Olsen, so that's good news. Tyco BMW, Christian Eden and Keith Farmer. Keith Farmer did round 1-5 and he got heavily injured. Michael Lovett stepped in for round 6 and Taylor McKenzie did rounds 11-12 and Glenn Irwin stepped in at 7-10. EHA Racing, David Allingham did rounds 1-9 and rounds 11. Raceways Yamaha, Matt Trulove did the whole season. Silicon Engineering, Dino Harrison did rounds 1-2. 5-6, 8, 11-12. Connor Cummins just stuck to round 1. Bricks Ducati did rounds 1-4. Bike Devil Sweden MV. Gino Ray did round 8, 11 and 12. Danny Kent did 6 and 7. And James Ellison did round 9. Team WD Racing, WD40 Racing. Claudio Costa the whole season. And Team 64, Sam Coventry competed in the whole season. Right. Silverstone, round 1. I'm going to put it out there, I'm not a big fan of Silverstone as a first round. I like it at Brands. I think it's a good, Brands is a good way to start a season, I think. Anyway, so qualifying, Taryn McKenzie was on pole for race 1, and the winner of that race, of race 1, was actually Josh Elliott on the OMG Suzuki, which was a surprise. I think that surprised everybody. Taryn McKenzie got second on the McCams Yamaha, 3 seconds adrift. And Scott Redding, on his first ever race in BSB, got on the podium. He finished third, 7 seconds adrift on that BYZ Ducati. So that's a good result. Race 2, Taryn McKenzie. The race 2 winner was actually Taryn McKenzie. Josh Elliott got second, 6 seconds adrift. And Danny Buchan got third, over a second adrift. Great season opener from Josh Elliott, getting his debut win. And also a great start from Taryn, getting the win on that Yamaha. After the race run controversy, when him and Jason O'Halloran had a bit of a coming together, basically he went for a gaff that wasn't there and he took Jason O'Halloran out. Think of it what you want, it was a bit rough, but that's racing. Scott Redding, as I said, got his first ever BSB podium. But he had a DNF in the second one, which was a bit shit. So, good start to the season, really, but never mind. Round 2 put us at Alton Park. Race 1 pole, Josh Brooks. Aboard the BYZ Ducati, and the race 1 winner was actually Josh Brooks, with Tommy Bridwell coming in second and Danny Buchan getting third place. Good result for Tommy Bridwell,
good start to his season. And same with Denny Buchan. Race 2 pole was Tommy Bridewell on the Oxford Racing Ducati. The race 2 winner was Josh Brooks again. Very strong round for Josh Brooks, getting back to what we expect from him, getting a double at Oldham Park. Both podiums were exactly the same gap difference, which is slightly more in the second race, but Brooks was on top. Great to see Bridewell dialing it in, getting a few podiums to his name. He looks to have clicked with that V4 quite well. And Danny Buchan getting 2 podium credits is awesome. And that'll be very critical towards the end of the season. On to round 3, Donington Park, the national circuit. I don't know why they just don't do the Grand Prix circuit twice, because the national, I think the national is shit, but anyway. Race 1 pole position, Josh Brooks. Race 1 winner, Scott Redding, got his debut win in the championship. Tara McKenzie got 2nd, 8 tenths adrift, and Jerry Forres got 3rd, 1.6 seconds adrift. The race 2 pole was Tommy Bradwell's. The race 2 winner was again Scott Brooks. Scott Redding. Xavier Forres got 2nd and Tommy Bradwell got 3rd. Race 3 pole was Hector Barbera out of nowhere. Where did he come from? And Scott Redding got the win again. Xavier Forres got 2nd and Tommy Bradwell got 3rd. For me, Donington Park will be Scott Redding's first real test, because it's a circuit he knows well from the GP days, and he performed absolutely on point. Not only his debut win, but his first double, and then his first treble. He got the set at Donington, he made a statement for the championship. He's in it to win it, not to get a wage. Jeremy Forrest got himself three podiums here. His World Superbike experience will play in dividends massively, and Bradwell getting more podium credits. He must be chuffed to bits, because he's never really been there at Tommy Bradwell. He's never been competing like he has so far. So, just a bit for Tommy Bradwell. Round 4 was at Brands Hatch, and Scott Redding got pole. Unfortunately for Scott, this is very much a Josh Brooks circuit, and Josh Brooks got the race 1 win from Dan Linfoot and Tommy Bradwell. Another podium for Bradwell, and Linfoot's found his way to the podium as well, which is excellent. Race 2 pole was Scott Redding. And the race 2 winner was again Josh Brooks on that Beerweiser PBM Ducati. Bradwell 2nd and Scott Redding got 3rd. Brooks well and truly find his way back to winning ways, securing a double at Brands Hatch. Now Shaky's going to definitely man to beat round Brands. He's claimed multiple wins and around the Kent circuit, and he's fast as ever. Dan Linfoot had a great race, getting his first podium, but missed consistency at it again. Tommy Bradwell gets another 2 podiums. And another some more podium credits to his name. Scott Redding smashed in both pole positions, but he only got 1 podium out of it. Hopefully that doesn't hurt him towards the end of the season. Round 5 at Knockhill, up in sunny Scotland, and it was horrendous. The race 1 pole was Jerry Forres on the Honda, and the race 1 result was Danny Buchan. Danny Buchan got his first win in the class. Fantastic. Second place Scott Redding, and third place Javi Forres. The race 2 pole was Scott Redding, and the race result was Scott Redding, Tara McKenzie and Tommy Bridewell. So in a sodden Knockhill weekend, Danny Buchan produced the best ride of his BSB career and took his debut win on the Soul FSV Kawasaki. Scott Redding had an awesome weekend at a circuit a lot of people thought he'd struggle at, but a double podium kind of tells everyone to fuck off. And he was, that second race, the overtakes he produced in that second race was special. It's well worth watching. On to round 6, Snetterton. This is a circuit that we expected Scott to be good at, because it's a very GP style circuit. And he got a pole in race 1. And the race 1 result was Scott Redding from Josh Brooks from Tara McKenzie. And the gaps were pretty close in that race. Race 2 pole was actually Tommy Bradwell. The race 2 result was Scott Redding from Josh Brooks and Tommy Bridewell. So B-Wise turned up in Norfolk and dominated, getting both bikes on the first and second steps in both races. Scott Redding took the double here and clicked with the circuit from the get-go. Josh Brooks scored a double second place, but just didn't have the pace on Scott today in this round. Terry McKenzie was the only rider to grace the podium and was not racing the Ducati V4. What's that tell you about Snetterton? On to round 7 at Thruxton. Race 1 pole was Scott Redding, but the race 1 results were Andrew Irwin from Scott Redding and Josh Brooks. Irwin getting his first win in the class. Race 2 pole was the race 1 winner, Andrew Owen. The race 2 results were Josh Brooks, Andrew Owen from Pierre Hickman, which is nice to see him on the podium. So Andrew Owen was the star of Thruxton, getting his first win on board, backing it up with a second place in race 2. Brooks continued his quest for another BSB title with a first and a third place, finishing adding valuable point credits to his name. Peter Hickman returned to the podium with a third place in race 2 on the Smiths BMW. Scott Redding had around 2 hours really. He had a second place in race 2, but he got a penalty in race 2. Sorry, in race 1, but he got a penalty in race 2, but he was demoted to last place. On to Cadwell Park, round 8. Very much a happy hunting ground for Mr. Brooks. And he had pole in race 1, but Danny Buchan took the spoils at Cadwell. Second place, Josh Brooks, and third place, Tommy Bridewell. On to race 2. Tommy Bridewell had the pole, and Josh Brooks took the win again. From Tommy Bridewell, Danny Buchan. The Cadwell Park is always a highlight of BSB season because it's a really awesome circuit. Over the mountain makes for excellent viewing. If you've never been before, I suggest it because it's fantastic to watch, especially when Brooks is going over there because he treats it like a motocross track. Cadwell's always been a happy hunting ground for Brooksy, and round it was no different. Secured a win. He got pipped to race 1 by Danny Buchan, but he's always going to be there or thereabouts, is Brooks at Cadwell Park. And it's just Danny Buchan getting the win really does help himself in the hunt for a showdown spot. Tim Bradley's consistency also won him more podium credits for the third and a second. The other showdown contender, Scott Ridley, had a bit of an off weekend with the fourth place in the DNF in race 2. On to round 9 at Ulton Park. Josh Brooks got the pole and the win in race 1 from Bradley Ray and Scott Redding. Good to see Bradley Ray back up there, and obviously nice to see Scott on the podium again. Race 2 pole was Josh Brooks, and the race 2 result was actually Scott Redding from Josh Brooks, which I didn't really expect to see there, to tell you the truth. And Tommy Bradwell wrapped up third. In the race 3, Bradley Ray got pole, and Tommy Bradwell got the win, which is excellent. Bradley Ray got another podium, another second place, and Scott Redding got the third. Ulton Park was the last of the championship before the showdown kicks in, and the top 6 are split away from the rest, and they contest the next 3 rounds of the championship at Assen, Donington and Brands. Josh Brooks started the round very well with race 1 pole, getting a race 1 victory comfortably from Bradley Ray, who enjoyed his first podium for a while, and in favour of Scott Redding adding those critical podium credits. Then race 2 was Scott Redding's turn to win, and he took the victory from Brooks and Bridewell. The podium was split by less than 2/10. Then onto race 3, Brooksy crashed leading the race. That probably did hurt him towards the end of the season. That allowed Tommy Bridewell to take the victory from Bradley Ray, completing a great weekend for that build-based Suzuki rider. So, that moves us onto the showdown. The riders in the showdown were Scott Redding, Josh Brooks, Tommy Bridewell, Danny Buchan, Tara McKenzie and Peter Hickman. It's nice to see Peter Hickman in there. Everyone loves Peter Hickman, he's such a nice bloke. I actually got a chance to meet him at Donington. That was really, really, really nice, and he was really pleasant. I said in the Aston Preview podcast that I couldn't see past the Ducati Championship winner, as the top 3 Dukes in the class were just in the class of their own, and the battle would probably come down to the B-Wiser boys. The first round of the showdown would be the flyaway round, the Netherlands, the awesome Assen TT circuit, possibly the best circuit from Scott Redding's point of view, as he would have spent most of his experience there in his MotoGP days. I mean, he'd have gone to Donington in his GP days, but mostly he'd have gone to Assen out of all of them. Josh Brooks has always gone well in Assen as well, and it seems you can't discount Tommy Bradwell at the moment either. He's been there and thereabouts all season. So, let's see what happened.
Right then, round 10, Assen. First round of the showdown. Assen is a fantastic circuit. A proper is, proper mega circuit. I've been watching bike racing properly since about 96. And Assen has always been my highlight of the year. World Superbikes, MotoGP, BSB. It's always a cracker in Assen. It really does promote really, really good racing, and especially that last corner. you get some crackers there. So, race one, pole position, Scott Redding. Scott always goes, well, Scott's got a lot of experience at Assen, and he goes quite well there, and so does Mr. Brooks. So, on to race one. Scott Redding got the win from Josh Brooks and Jason O'Halloran. Josh Brooks was 4.9 seconds adrift, which he won't have been too chuffed about. And Jason O'Halloran obviously getting third, 5.2 seconds adrift on that Yamaha. Strangely, there was two Aussies on the podium. Pretty cool. Race two poles, Tommy Bridwell. He actually crashed out of race one, which was a bit of a shitter for him. And the race two result was Scott Redding, completed 18 laps. Second place was Tommy Bridwell, a recovering Tommy Bridwell. He was 3.3 seconds behind. And Danny Buchan aboard the Kawasaki got a third place, 3.5 seconds adrift. So, Scott Redding smashed the first showdown round. He started in the most perfect way with a double win. And what more could you want as a start in the showdown, really? He dominated the races, he dominated the every sessions, he was on top of all the timesheets, and he really did state his intentions for this showdown. He put 14 points in between him and Josh Brooks going to Donington Park, and Bradwell DNF in that first race really did fuck him up in that championship, but he recovered with a second place in race two. Jason O'Halloran did the best of the race championship, a good boost with that third place in race one. And Danny Buchan is just 4 points behind Bridwell in third place in the showdown championship. You got a feel for Josh Brooks here, because his hyped up teammate he just kicks his ass. And I've always, well, for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, I thought it's going to be between these two boys, and it looking like it is going to be between these two boys. So, round 11, Donington Park. I was actually at the round. I was invited to the round, and it was great to get to a BSB round. I've not been for quite a long time, and I really enjoyed myself. First race, I actually stood at Craner, and I got some really cool footage from there. It was really cool. So the pole for race one was Scott Redding, but Scott never ever gets good starts. He just never seems to get that start dialed in, and he was swallowed up quite quickly. But he won the race. He won the first race at Donington Park by 2 seconds from Tommy Bridwell and Josh Brooks. Josh Brooks slipping more points behind Scott Redding, and obviously Tommy Bridwell slipping more points behind him as well. Brooks is actually 5 seconds adrift in that race, and that won't have pleased him at all. Race two, Paul, Scott Redding, again. But, as again in race two, he didn't get a great start and he got swallowed up, but he won the race again. Half a second behind was Josh Brooks, and 5 seconds adrift was Tommy Bridwell. The second race was a proper, it was building to a climax. I was stood at Fogiesi's watching the second race, and literally every lap, Brooksy was just eking away. Scott pulled a bit on him, and then he was just creeping back, but he just never had the... He just didn't have enough to make a move on him. Because when I was stuck at Fogiesi's, you could see the final corner, and you just thought, oh, he's going to have a dive bomb here, but no, it never happened. So Scott Redding got yet another double in his 2019 championship tally, and he pulled more points on second place Brooks, going 28 points clear going into Brands Hatch. The top three showdown riders covered both race podiums, but the championship is now only available to the top three, unfortunately. On to the finale. A quick one about, I really enjoy the fact that the last races are held at Brands Hatch. I think Brands Hatch is awesome. It really is cool. And it's different now. We don't have Shane Byrne in the championship. Shane Byrne, for me, was a weapon at Brands Hatch, because it's his home circuit, but he went so bloody well there. Anyway, onto the races. So Brooksy got a pole. Scott Redding had technical difficulties in Q3. I believe he had an electrical problem. Onto the first race, we had Josh Brooks winning on the BYZ Ducati from Tommy Bridwell and Scott Redding. Scott Redding was 8.4 seconds adrift, and that's probably didn't give him loads of confidence. But Josh Brooks started the way you'd want to start if you were 28 points adrift. But then there's three chances at the championship for Scott Redding, and he still finished on the podium, so he didn't lose that many points in the long run. Race two, Brooksy started from pole, and Brooksy won the race. But it was much, much closer this time. Redding finishing just over a tenth behind him, and Bridwell rounding out the podium, 8 tenths further back. It was a proper tight race. Redding has to recover from another poor start, having dropped to 8th place, catching Brooks and Bridwell towards the end. He passed Bridwell with 3 laps to go, but he just didn't have enough to catch and pass Brooksy. But it's similar to the race 2 at Donington, really caught up with him and just didn't have enough to get past him. But that also meant that it went down to the final race, final round, final race of the year. Just what we like. Proper racing. So the results for that race were as follows. We had Josh Brooks, 20 laps. Tommy Bridwell put in second place, 0.223 seconds adrift. And in third place, 12.3 seconds adrift, our British Superbike champion. Brooksy did all he could in the final round, but it just wasn't enough, unfortunately. He bagged a treble. And Scott took the title on his first attempt by a slim margin. 5 points. 5 points! He started with 28 points and ended up with 5 points. He must have been twitchy in that last race. So Brooks secured himself a second place in the championship. So it was a PBM 1-2 in the championship. So Paul Bird must have been chuffed a bit with that. And Bradwell got a well-deserved third. He had a very, very strong season to Bradwell. Very strong. It was his best ever season in British Superbikes. In the end, it was a complete Ducati whitewash at the top. But it was expected because that V4 is an animal this year. It's a weapon. And it's the machine to be on. Best of the rest in the showdown were Buchan, Taron McKenzie and Hickman were the final showdown challenges. So we had Danny Buchan on the Kawasaki, Taron McKenzie on the Yamaha and Hickman on the BMW. It's a great achievement for all three of them, really. Danny Buchan had an awesome season. He obviously got his first win and he got some good podiums. Taron McKenzie started like a rocket, but he just DNF'd, just killed his season off. And Hickman was there or thereabouts. I'm chuffed for Hickman for him to get in the into the showdown. We know how fast he's on the road. He's incredible, and it's nice to see him getting some success in the BSB paddock. So that wraps up my review of the 2019 season. Unfortunately for the fans, Scott won't be sticking around to defend his title, as he got the opportunity to move to World Superbikes. I believe that was probably always the option for him anyway. He's going aboard the Aruba IT Ducati, replacing the outbound Alvaro Bautista, who's jumped on the factory Honda. And that factory Honda is a sexy, sexy machine. If you haven't seen it, get yourself on Google, YouTube, where have you been? Because that bike is fucking sexy. I'm not biased, but that is a nice bike. I'll wrap up the BSB review with some news. Joe Francis has re-signed with PR Racing, so he got another shot at the in the championship next year. Josh Owen steps up to the BSB grid with CDH Racing. Ex-Supermoto star Christian Iden joins Brooks at PBM Ducati. PBM actually lost their BYZ sponsorship, but they replaced it with a Vision Track sponsorship, so they're going to be Vision Track PBM Ducati next year. And Iden and Brooks is a strong, strong team. Brooks, obviously, is he's a 2015 champion. He came second by 5 points in the championship. So he's going to definitely going to be one to look. He's definitely going to be the favourite next year. But Iden, he's had a good season this year. He's had some good results as well. BSB qualifying changes. So they've decided to shake it up a bit. And the fastest six from free practice will go straight into Q2. I'm very interested to see how that pans out, because I really like how MotoGP do their qualifying with the top two from Q1 going into Q2 for the 15 minutes. I think it's a really good way of doing it. So I'll be very interested to see how the six from free practice go straight into Q2. I'm excited to see that. So I'll give some feedback on that once I've seen it. Glenn Irwin joins his brother Andrew Irwin at Honda. So you've got the Irwin brothers partying at Honda. Glenn had a bit of a shit season last year. He fell out with Tycho. He had to go on a quacker. It just wasn't really a good season for him. I believe he's doing the roads as well this year. So, and Honda may, I'm not sure on what bike Honda are bringing to BSB, whether they're bringing the new Fireblade or they're going to use the old one. I'm not sure. If they bring a new one, that will be a package. Andrew got his first race win last season, and he looked very comfortable. Taylor McKenzie and Brad Ray joined the all-new Tyco BMW lineup. I didn't think I'd see Brad Ray jumping onto a different bike from that build-based Suzuki. It was quite a shock, to be honest, and Taylor McKenzie had a good run there at the end of the season on that Tyco till he got injured, Tyco BMW. So that's a good team. Brad Ray's a strong rider. He can definitely mix it with the fastest guys, so I'm looking forward to that. Gino Ray joins BSB full-time with the Bike Devils Ducati. Keith Farmer and Carl Rye jump on the build-based Suzuki. That's going to be an interesting setup. I feel they've lost out by losing Brad Ray, because Brad Ray got some good results. So hopefully Keith Farmer's fit and healthy after getting his injuries, and Carl Ride is a fantastic rider. So good luck to those boys. That just about wraps up what I've got to say on BSB. Just one quick message, well, one quick update about Ian Oney in MotoGP. He pissed hot for Peds, and he gave in his B sample yesterday. I believe that failed, but not by a right lot, but it failed. So he's looking at a 4-year ban from any FIM events, which is truly shit. And it's not what you want. I mean, there's no place in our sport for that type of thing. I'm hoping it was an innocent mistake, because I'm a big boxing fan, and it ruins people's reputations. And there's been a lot of people who haven't recovered from that type of controversy. If he does get a 4-year ban, I can't see him coming back to MotoGP, because he'll be way past his prime. Possibly a World Supers ride, but I think it'll be if he rides again, it'll be national level. He's not been the... I was always a fan of him in Moto2, because he was Crazy Joe, but he never seemed to dial it in properly in MotoGP. So maybe some time away will do him good or bad, I don't know. But at the moment, there's not official him getting banned, but I've seen various things, and there's been various releases about him failing the B sample. Let's just hope that it's a mistake. I don't know. I don't think it can be now. I think it's done and done. But it's sad. It's really sad. There's no place for it in my sport, in our sport. You know, it's just not meant to be there. So that wraps everything up for this podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and I'd like it if you could follow me on Twitter and Instagram, give me a subscribe if you like it. I'm going to do a World Supers review and a roads review in the same episodes, because the roads doesn't warrant a full episode to itself. So I'm going to do a Rhodes and a World Superbike preview in Wunnet, and that'll be out next Friday. After then, I'm going to fill the off season with rider episodes. So I'll talk about like a certain rider, and go into the history of the rider, what they've done previously, what they've won, rivalries, and all that kind of stuff. I'll just fillers basically, do a bit of history on all the racing series. I'm interested in the history of all the classes. You know, we'll talk about previous champions and all that kind of stuff. So I've got some plans. If you're interested, stick with me. Join me for this ride. It should be a good laugh. Right then, so I'm going to sign off. Thanks again for listening. I'll speak to you all soon. Keep it pinned and have a good time. Goodbye.